First, there are many ways that we try to live a more eco-friendly life. A lot of us bring canvas bags to the grocery store to avoid all those plastic bags. Most municipalities have a range of recycling services, even for items like electronics. We might buy a car that gets better gas mileage or is even a hybrid vehicle, or maybe we even try to take a bike or walk more to avoid the car altogether. There are a lot of options for green living, but what about how we die? Elizabeth Fournier is a seventh-generation mortician, and she's committed to helping people plan environmentally friendly burials that are also much less expensive for their loved ones. Her new book is The Green Burial Guidebook. Elizabeth, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so very much. I'm thrilled to be here. And do you know my seventh-generation mortician gig actually ties into the state of Wisconsin?
How?
Well, Pisarsky's Funeral Home in Plover and Stevens Point, those are my kinfolk. Turns out they were back in Chicago, now they're here, and the man who started that, Frank, was my father's cousin.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's where my generations go back. My parents wasn't their thing, but generations back from the other side of the family. So there goes to my Polish family there in Stevens Point.
Wow. Well, we're so glad to have you on, and it's a really interesting topic. And I guess I'd like to start first with how you define and would describe a green burial.
A green burial is things that we're not doing, such as we're not going to have a body who has been embalmed or has any of those chemicals to preserve it. We're going to take that natural body and not put it into a metal casket or a highly shellacked wood casket, and then we're not going to take that burial container and put that into a cemetery grave, which is lined with a concrete or a steel grave liner. So that's three generations of things that we're not doing just to keep it natural.
So there's a pretty big contrast, it sounds like, to the current common burial practices in the U.S. And as opposed to green burial. Your description of green burial strikes me as being how people cared for and buried their dead for centuries or even millennia. How did we get so far removed from death today?
Your insight, Judith, is fantastic. Yes, 150 years ago, this is what we were doing. What had happened was a civil war came about, and with that, we needed to get our boys back to their towns to have their loved ones be able to have their services for them. So embalming was created. With embalming, we decided to have schooling. Boys went to school. They became the morticians. We had funeral homes. Then there was a funeral business and a cemetery business, and we had goods and services. And basically everything progressed. We're taking care of the nature and doing things simple sort of regressed. So here we are now doing things in what we call more of not a traditional burial way, but more of a modern burial way, which is taking care of goods, services, and finding ways we can do this that isn't exactly old school like we used to.
What do you think we've lost as a result of becoming more distant from the immediacy of death?
I think we've lost a lot of the hands-on, and women used to be the layers of the dead. They were the people who would take care of their loved one when they passed away. They'd bathe them and sing to them and dress them, and they'd have them in the front funeral parlor. And the funeral parlor was the front room in the house. So rather than have them there, then the door would open and we could take them out to our churchyard or our backyard. Actual funeral parlors began springing up in towns where when someone passed away, they'd say, well, give a call to the local funeral parlor. The mortician will come out. They'll put the crape on the door to say this family is in mourning. Leave them alone. This isn't a time to bother them. And we'll just take care of that deceased person. We'll make them look lifelike and beautiful. We'll put them on display, and then we can go ahead and go to a burial park. So we'll take this trouble away from you. So what we lost with that is that sense of people doing it for themselves, people having that moment of reverency to say, wait a minute, this is my loved one. We're going to keep them at home. We're going to do the things we need to do to be part of the family and allow our loved ones to come in and feed them and really honor our person maybe as best as possible or maybe just as natural as they live their life.
Is there a difference, Elizabeth, in how different religions approach burial and, you know, this more immediate family-oriented type of treatment of the dead?
Yeah, you know, that's a really interesting thing to think about, because there's some cultures, like the Muslim culture, the Jewish culture, they have been taking care of natural burial for years. That's just what they've done. The idea of wrapping a body in a shroud and getting it to touch the earth within 24 hours is really what they've been doing. Now that Pope Francis has arrived for the Catholic Church, that man is phenomenal in spreading his message of being economical and being environmental. So I'm finding this wonderful brethren of Catholics that are saying, okay, that sounds pretty good. So a lot of Catholic cemeteries across the United States and Canada are opening up one section, their St. Francis section or their St. Gabriel garden, and they're allowing natural burials to happen there, where we still can take the body into Mass. We still can have a priest say the prayers. We can consecrate a grave, no issue whatsoever. We're just not having the person embalmed, and we're not paying all the money for an expensive casket, and we're just putting them lightly back into the gentle embrace of the earth.
Speaking of the Catholic Church, a relatively recent development was that the Catholic Church decided that cremation was acceptable. For a long time, it was not. How does cremation fit kind of on that spectrum of very eco-friendly versus the current preferred model that is quite not green in its aspects?
Well, baby boomers decided a while back that they were not going to buy that 32-square-foot piece of land, and they weren't going to go to a cemetery and waste all that space. They were going to get cremated. What we're finding out now with some more education and some more eco-statistics that are growing here from science writers is that one cremation produces so much waste with fossil fuel. We're realizing that the mercury from the fillings is going up into the air and coming back down and feeding chickens and fishes, and we're eating that again. Also, we're finding out that just starting the afterburner or the crematory up to get to the high temperature of the 1800 degrees to cremate a body, all of that can go to the moon and back so many times. And there's just all this stuff that's happening. And this carbon footprint is pretty high. What has come new is the concept of eco-cremation or aqua-cremation, bio-cremation. There's no set name for this. This is something that was started by the Mayo Clinic, and they were using this in the hospitals, and then after a while it's being used for the animals. But there are 10 states within the union that say, yes, this is a method of disposition. This is something we can do. We can go ahead and use the high pressure of water and think of a nice water bath of your loved one, and not chemicals, but more of a potassium chloride. And after a couple hours, we're going to have the tissue break down, and you're going to end up with the end product as you do with a cremation. You're just going to have the ashes and cremated human remains to give back to somebody. So that's yet another way we're finding out we can have a green disposition. It's not necessarily a burial unless you're burying those cremains, but isn't that fantastic? We're really broadening our parameters here of what we can do to keep it eco-friendly.
Elizabeth Fournier is a seventh-generation mortician committed to helping people plan environmentally friendly burials. Her new book is The Green Burial Guidebook. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. When the time comes, would you like to have a green burial? What does or doesn't appeal to you about the practice? Have you ever been involved in a green burial of a loved one? What was it like? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up this conversation after this short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. We're talking about green burial options with Elizabeth Fournier. She's a seventh-generation mortician, and she works to help people plan environmentally friendly burials. Her new book is The Green Burial Guidebook. If you try to live your life in an environmentally friendly way, have you considered some type of green burial? What would you like to know so you can decide if it's the right choice for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And Elizabeth, let's talk about some of the concrete aspects, no pun intended, of green burial. If someone's interested in exploring the options, what are some of the questions they should maybe first ask themselves?
I think the first question would be, where am I going to be buried? And lucky for all of the wonderful Wisconsin people who are listening to this, there's plenty of spaces and cemeteries in your state that does this. You know, there's two in the Milwaukee area, which is really amazing, right there within the city limits. And if you head east on I-94, you get to the town of Waukesha. Am I pronouncing that correct?
Actually, Waukesha.
Waukesha. Oh, that's even better. Waukesha. Sounds cool. So there's one there, and if you're going to go, keep on going due east of there, past Madison, Highway 18, you get to Verona, and then continue on, and Barneveld has another one. So there's a lot of choices there that allow people just to go ahead and have a natural cemetery. And also, did you know, in your state, you can bury people on their own private land.
Wow. And what constitutes private land? Are we talking a minimum of several acres, or are we talking an urban backyard?
Well, how it works with Wisconsin, and it's important to know that most states have specific rules how this works. There's really nothing at the state level which regulates the burial on the private land. So what needs to happen is everything is a local ordinance, meaning if you're going to think even about having a grave dug, you'll need to check with your town or your county clerk or even the local health department and ask for any rules. And what you're really going to do is run your address past them. They probably want to make sure you have at least an acre, you're in a rural area, and then there'll be setbacks as far as are you away from a watershed, are you away from a neighbor's property, and there's all the steps like that. So it is legal. Of course, you have to file this with the property deed because we want to make sure that if you are going to be selling the property down the road, we let this be known. But Wisconsin is one of those fantastic states that is really open to traditional burial and modern burial and just making people have as many choices as possible.
Let's go to the phones, and Tim in Eau Claire is up first. Hi, Tim.
Hi. So I'm in my 30s, and I've, since I was a little kid, always had a connection, very strong connection with a specific cemetery. It's always been my quiet place. I want to build my own coffin. That's where I want to be buried. The only issue is the rules there don't allow anybody to be buried without a cement box around them, which is kind of counter to what I, you know, really want. And I'm hoping that you might be able to point me in some direction or maybe, you know, give me some keywords that I might be able to, some buzzwords I might be able to use with them to convince them to allow me to do it.
So, Tim, if I'm understanding the situation, you feel very connected to this particular cemetery, but that cemetery, at least currently, does not allow the type of burial that you also feel very connected with. So you're kind of have a conflict between the two.
Exactly. I'm kind of between a concrete box and a hard place.
thanks for that, Tim. Elizabeth, what would you recommend?
You. I would suggest him keep being himself, for one thing. He sounds like a phenomenal human. I also think that there's two things we can do. One is if you ask, you shall receive. And if you keep asking the cemetery, well, why can't we have a concrete liner not be part of my burial? After a while, they might say, well, it's just the rules. And then maybe they'll look at reevaluating their rules. That's how any pioneer, historic, small cemetery has decided, oh, okay, this is what we'll do. If they really don't want to budget their rules and your time is coming to pass, then what they probably can do, and you might want to check this prior, is they can take that concrete liner and rather than have it in the ground, have your beautiful homemade casket put inside and have that concrete lid on top, they merely can have you in the ground first and then put that concrete liner on upside down. So you're following me? That way you're pressing the earth. Concrete is around you, so it satisfies keeping the soil and the earth where they want it to be so they have the sparkly, beautiful memorial ground, but then you're still touching the earth. Yes, you still will be lined by concrete, but boy, oh boy, you got to be one with nature quicker than you thought.
So you're saying that instead of it being open on the top and the body being placed inside that, Elizabeth, the body is placed in and it's put as kind of, this is a horrible analogy, but like the cover on a butter plate.
That's perfect, Judith. It makes a visual. That's what we need in radio. That makes perfect sense. And I'm finding that's what a lot of Jewish cemeteries do because they don't want that wavy, gravy look. They want it really green and nice, but they do that where the loved one does touch the earth. But the cemetery soil doesn't look like anything happened.
Well, I hope that helps, Tim. Definitely let us know if you have any success with that, convincing that cemetery. Let's go now to Louise in Shatek. Hi, Louise.
Hi. I am a home funeral guide and have been for 6 years in our area. and I help families when they call after the medical examiner has done their thing. I help them prepare the body and keep it for up to 2 to 3 days, depending on what they want to do. And I begin to work with the local cemeteries to see if we can't get a couple spots for green burial. I agree with the lady talking that a lot of people, I think, cremate because they can't afford the burial. And if we could have green burial, I think more people would use that. And I find the home funerals, if you've never been involved, they are the most peaceful thing because people can take their time to say goodbye. They don't have someone looking at you to make sure you're crying enough or not crying enough or all that kind of stuff. So.
Thank you for that, Louise. And actually, Elizabeth, that brings up an issue that I wanted to talk with you about. Louise said that she helps people and really accompanies them through the process of having a home burial. One of the questions, it seems to me, that someone interested in green burial really needs to reflect on is this something that my family, my loved ones, are going to be comfortable with? Because it really is a much more immediate experience of death of someone very close to you.
Yes, and thank you, Louise, for your call. Thank you for the work you do. What she said is very reflective of natural burial in the sense if you do keep your loved one at home, for instance, you don't have that 1 hour visitation slot at the funeral parlor. You can spend your time, you can say goodbye. Fortunately, again, Wisconsin, one of these wonderful states, that restores families' rights in the sense where you can act as your own funeral home, your own funeral director. You can be involved with whatever you need as far as transportation and these things. So also hiring home funeral guides to help. That's probably something that people should Google and take a look at. I don't think we have too much time to go too much deep into that. But it is important, like you mentioned, Judith, that you discuss with your family what you want when you pass. And if you do want a green burial, is everybody on board? Do they have questions? Does it sound just crazy, or does it sound like something they'd be comfortable with? There are so many videos. There's so much information. If no one has heard of it before and they think you're off your rocker, you can lead them to just wonderful videos on YouTube that show a peaceful family spending time together. And it's important, too, if you're going to take care of this for yourself or somebody else, you have a team. If you're going to drive a vehicle, who has that vehicle? Are they up to doing this? If you're going to make a shroud or a casket, can somebody do this? Do they know what they're doing? What if the burial and the death happen much quicker than you thought? What if it's freezing cold tundra out there because you're in the middle of winter? Things sometimes happen. So I think the best laid plans are beautiful and be easy on yourself because sometimes your family or whomever just can't make it happen, and that's just okay.
Let's go next to Janet, who's calling from Milwaukee. Hi, Janet.
Hi. I just wanted to say that the first time I saw a green burial was in the HBO series 6 Feet Under. As soon as I saw it, that last one, I went to the historic Forest Home Cemetery in Milwaukee. They already had one prepared. It's at the back end of the cemetery, and it's all native Wisconsin flowers, prairie grasses, trees, and, you know, they show you, you know, well, where do you want yours? And I bought it the same day. It included the unearthing, you know, somebody has to dig up the earth. Excuse me. The only thing is nothing metal, because you must be biodegradable, and so must your shroud, or, you know, no nails in a pine box. It has to be pegged. Or you can just go in a shroud. My mother gave me her best nightgown. I took the buttons off. I have everything written out. It's all ready to go. And my family is deceased or moved away. So it's, to me, it's like, yeah, I want to go back to where I came from. So, and it was very, very affordable, less than $1,000. And I'm locked in. They do have a granite rock for when you do experience your date of death, and then they put your date of death on there. And there's a little swing, and, you know, it's charming.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for that, Janet. And Elizabeth, it does seem like there are more and more options. As you said, it's not an either or. There are these cemeteries that do traditional, well, that do modern burials, and others that do green. It seems like there are some that do both.
There are, and what Janet's talking about is the Forest Home Cemetery, and that's foresthomecemetery.com. And they're in Milwaukee proper, and the beautiful thing is they're called a hybrid cemetery, which means they already were taking care of burials the way that most of us think of a burial with a headstone and just your traditional-looking casket. But what they decided was they were going to open up their park and allow natural burials to come. So they do have that example in the back of the park that says this is what this looks like, rather than the green grass that we're going to put the chemicals on and that we're going to make sure is mowed. We're going to have just whatever natural foliage comes up in the vines and the beautiful wildflowers, and this will be your resting place and probably a boulder for a headstone. When she talks about the idea of a shroud, I don't know if people realize this, but a shroud could be the beautiful cotton sheet off your bed. Just something to wrap your body with, something that allows you to move. You probably will need some sort of straps to physically move you to where you need to go. But nonetheless, a shroud doesn't have to be something that somebody hand-sewed or you bought off the Internet. This can be a piece of material from the fabric store. Of course, something that's non-bleached, organic cotton is good, wool, silk, muslin, linen, there's all these materials that you can use, but boy, that's a really inexpensive burial container.
We're running short on time, but I want to make sure we had a couple callers call to say that there's also the Farley Center for Peace, Justice, and Sustainability. It's about 20 miles outside of Madison. It's in Verona, and they have the Natural Path Sanctuary, which is also a green burial area.
Right, yes, Verona, and don't forget the Barneveld. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
Okay, right, and then that really fun name that you told me has the Prairie Home Cemetery there.
That's
so.
Waukesha. We'll have to leave it there, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for joining us today. Elizabeth Fournier joined us to talk about green burials. Her new book is The Green Burial Guidebook.